Welcome to Sola Scriptura, the preaching ministry of Beaverton Grace Bible Church. For our motto is the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. Our focus is on the glory of our sovereign God through the systematic verse-by-verse preaching of the Holy Scriptures for the sanctification of the saint and the salvation of the sinner. Our mission is to declare the narrow path of Jesus Christ in a broad path world. And our invitation is to put on the full armor of God and join us in the gospel battle.
Today's message in our continuing series, Tools for Evangelism, is Authentic Salvation, Authentic Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. When Jesus taught and preached throughout Israel, it was his claim to deity that most inflamed his opposition.
Second major point of authentic salvation is authentic Christ. Secondly, perhaps foremost even, the cults attack Christ, and they don't so much attack his humanity. Historically, there has been at least one cult, Gnostics, that have attacked his humanity, saying he wasn't real flesh and blood. But most cults attack his deity. Most false religions attack his deity. Most agnostics and atheists attack his deity. And so this point is a point we must stand on and stand firm. This is a hill we cannot give up. This is a hill to die on. The importance of Christ's deity cannot be overstated. Christ's deity from the Old Testament. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Who is the virgin-born son? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Matthew 1:23, the Lord, he translated it for us. And it means God with us. A glorious truth, a glorious defense and declaration of the deity of Christ from Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, a real literal flesh and blood child. Unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He is Mighty God. Can you be God, by the way, and not be Almighty? And it doesn't say a Mighty God. It says Mighty God. And since he's the same one spoken of two chapters earlier as being God with us, it's not hard to understand who he is. A son who was born, a real child in flesh, who is Mighty God. Isaiah 48:12, we looked at under the Trinity, but again, I am he, I am the first, I am also the last, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. Skipping down to verse 15, even I have spoken, yes, I have called him, I have brought him, and his way will prosper. Come near to me and hear this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, I was there, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Who is the me? He is the speaker through this whole text, Isaiah 48:12-16. And he opens up saying, I am he, I am the first and the last. That's a declaration of eternality. The great I am, who sent Moses to Pharaoh, the eternal one, Jesus declares the same thing of himself, that he is the first and the last, everlasting to everlasting. Eternally God, the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. Jeremiah 23:5-6, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now hear this, his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Who is this one who is to be born as a branch of David, meaning a descendant of David, like David's family tree? A branch of it. He is the Lord our righteousness. Again, he's going to literally be born. He's going to be fully human. And yet he's fully God. Now how is Lord our righteousness spelled there? If your Bible happened to get open to Jeremiah 23:6, it's capital L-O-R-D. Yahweh, our righteousness, is going to be born of the line of David. It is Jesus who is Yahweh in flesh. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Who was to be born in Bethlehem to be ruler of Israel forever? Jesus. That's who was born in Bethlehem. And what did it say of him? Of his goings forth, they're from old. How old? from everlasting. He is eternally God. He is not a created being. He is the Creator of all beings. He who was born in Bethlehem, Jesus, the Christ child, fully God, always was God, always will be God, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. Again, Matthew 1:23, from the New Testament, Christ's deity from the New Testament. Christ's deity from the New Testament, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. By the way, virgins bearing children is somewhat unusual. In this one instance, the Lord circumvented the normal course of events and implanted this child in her womb through the power of the Holy Spirit and the shadow of the Highest. And the Christ child was placed in her womb, not of the seed of man, but of the seed of woman, said Genesis 3. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us, says Matthew 1:23. Christ is God with us in flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. Matthew 26:63, Jesus Himself claimed to be God, and the high priest understood His claim and said, therefore, let us crucify Him. That's why Jesus died, don't you see? The last Jehovah's Witness I witnessed to, I said, you know, I really don't fathom how you can possibly claim to believe the Bible and deny the deity of Christ. Explain to me why they crucified Jesus. Why did they kill Him? He who was more loving than any other man. He who did more miracles. He who basically eradicated sickness and disease from all Jerusalem and even Israel. Why would they ever kill Him? Because He claimed to be God. And they said, you blaspheme. Matthew 26:63. The high priest said to Him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What do you mean? He's claimed to be God. What further need have we of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, he is deserving of death. And they sought it and they got it from the hand of Pilate. Jesus, all throughout His ministry, was worshipped. Jesus, if He was a righteous man, if He was a holy prophet of God, must be God, or He would not receive worship. For only God is to be worshipped. In Matthew 14:33, it says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. He was worshipped, for He was God in flesh. In Matthew 28:9, Jesus worshipped after His resurrection. They went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and they held Him by the feet and they worshipped Him. He didn't say, hey, whoa, stop, you misunderstood. He received the worship. For He is Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. Luke 24:52, again, after His resurrection, they worshipped Him, it says. It's pretty straightforward. They worshipped Him because He was God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, every Jehovah's Witness has been thoroughly trained to convolute, twist, and demean the power of this passage of Scripture. Don't get stuck there. Declare it firmly. Declare it boldly. All of the translations for 2,000 years, other than the New World Translation, which was translated specifically and deliberately by the Jehovah's Witnesses to twist the Scriptures, all of the translations for 2,000 years in any language, not just the English language, translated it was God, not a God, as they have mistranslated it. Stand firm on it, but then move on. Because they'll want to fight you all day long. And we're not there to fight them. We're out there to declare to them the one true God and Jesus Christ, who is God in flesh, and to call them to repent before Him and believe and be saved. We're not there to argue. We're there to authoritatively declare the truth. Call them to repent. And let the Lord do the work in the heart. John 1:14, that same Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What Word? The Word who was God. Always was God. The Word who created everything. John 1:23, John the Baptist said, very important words about Jesus. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, prepare the way of the Lord. He was a precursor of Christ, the one who came like a herald who would run ahead of the king and say, the king is coming, the king is coming. That's John the Baptist. Make straight the way of the Lord. Lord what? Capital L-O-R-D, meaning Yahweh. God, in the highest sense. The same name of the Father in the Old Testament belongs rightly to Jesus in the New. John 5, verse 17, Jesus answered them, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill Him, because He not only broke the Sabbath, but also said God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. They understood Him rightly. If you make yourself equal with God, what are you making yourself to be? God. So they sought to kill Him. John 5:23, that all should honor, this is Jesus speaking here, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. That is why Jews are not saved today. Those who want to find grace to throw and wrap around Jews who deny Christ, there's no grace there. All of the grace of God is found in Jesus. God so loved the world He gave His Son, not so you can do whatever you want and reject Him if you like and still get to heaven. All the grace is found in Jesus. You deny Jesus, you deny the grace of God. You must honor the Son just as you honor the Father, said Jesus. That's a claim of deity, unmistakably. And the only way to be saved is through Jesus. To deny Him is to deny the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. You can't reject Jesus and just say, well, I'm just going to cut straight to the Father. I don't want to deal with the middleman. There's no option but to deal with the middleman, the Son sent by the Father to accomplish redemption. John 8:56, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, said Jesus, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? See, Jesus just claimed something fantastic. Your father said of me that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Abraham saw the day of Jesus. How could this be so? You're not yet 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Ego eimi, I am. The very same name that the Father used of Himself for Moses. Who should I say sent me when I meet Pharaoh face to face? You tell him I am. Sent you. Jesus did not back off of their surprise and shock and bewilderment when they said, No, wait a minute, you're claiming to have met Abraham face to face, to seen his day. What are you saying? No, he said, Yes, absolutely, amen. Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, not only did I see Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. A clear claim to be God of very gods. To be one with the Father. To be the Eternal One. Everlasting to everlasting. And so how do they respond? Did they respond and say, Oh, okay, no big deal. No! They understood exactly what He was saying. Verse 59 of John 8, Then they took up stones to throw at Him. Why? Because it was blasphemy. If indeed He's not God. But it's the truth of God. If indeed He's the Son of God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And indeed He was. John 9:35, He said to Him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is He, Lord, that I may believe Him? And Jesus said to Him, You have both seen Him, and it is He who is talking with you. Then He said, Lord, I believe, and He worshipped Him. Now the Jews understood a claim to be the Son of God, to be a claim to be God, and this man understood that as well, because he worshipped Him. Once he understood what he was claiming. And you only worship God. John 10:30, Jesus speaking, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to throw at Him. Go figure. What are you saying when you say I and the Father are one? I am God. Now you're also saying there's but one God. And somehow I'm one with Him. Even though the Father's yet in heaven, here I am standing before you on earth, said Jesus. I and the Father are one. So there He's also speaking to the Trinity, the nature of the Trinity. We're one, and yet we're at least two standing here. But I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. There's three. A clear claim to deity. Don't miss verse 33, though, of John 10. The Jews answered Him, saying, For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself God. They understood absolutely what he was saying. Don't let any cultists tell you Jesus never claimed to be God. He declared it again and again and again, and that's why they crucified him. Why is it that they have so much evidence to bring against him to say he's a blasphemer? We have the right, therefore, to crucify him. It's because that was central to his message, or they wouldn't have had the evidence. Don't back off of the evidence. John 12:45, "And he who sees me has seen him who sent me." If you've seen me, you've seen he who sent me. Again, a claim to deity. He is one with the Father. John 14, verse 9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Wow. No prophet is going to be so bold to say that, because prophets of God are truly going to be holy men of God. They're not going to elevate themselves like this. Jesus wasn't just a prophet, though. He was God in flesh. "He who has seen me has seen the Father." John 20, verse 28, Thomas, after the resurrection, Thomas who said, "I'm not going to believe unless I see the holes in his hands and his feet, unless I feel his side." Thomas answered and said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Thomas, who totally was disillusioned, had totally denied him, had said, "He's dead, it's gone, it's over." Even when the other disciples said, "We saw him, he's resurrected," he said, "I don't believe, not unless I see." When he saw him, what did he declare? "My Lord and my God." Indeed, Jesus is Lord and God. Romans 9:5, the Apostle Paul gets in on the declaration of Christ's deity. He says, "Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen." Christ came of the flesh, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:47, Paul again says that the second man is the Lord from heaven. The first man, Adam, in that context. The second man is the Lord from heaven. God in flesh. Colossians 1:15, speaking of Jesus, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and are for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist." He is the image of the invisible God. He is God in flesh. Image of the invisible God. God in flesh. The firstborn over all creation. Oh yes, firstborn in flesh and firstborn in preeminence. But he wasn't created in the womb of Mary. He took upon flesh in the womb of Mary. He is eternally God long before the womb. Colossians 2:9, "For in him," Jesus, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That means he's God. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in flesh. Hebrews 1:1-12 is one of the most succinct, powerful, and lengthy texts that speak to the deity of Jesus Christ. What does it say? "God, who at various times spoke in various ways in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds," again, Creator, "the heir of all things, the ruler, who being the brightness of His glory," Jesus the Son, "is the brightness of the glory of the Father," that's deity, "and the express image of His person." Jesus is express image, the flesh, of the person of God. Again, deity. "Upholding all things by the word of His power." He didn't just create, He sustains everything, always, at every moment, by the word of His power. "When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He, the Father, ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have begotten you'?" The answer is, none of the angels. "Again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." Very unique. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim Jesus was an angel. And the Lord here addresses it. Oh no, He's much higher than the angels. Verse 6, "But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says," the Father says, "that all the angels of God," this is important, "worship Him." The Father said that all the angels worship the Son. Is the Son an angel? Would the Father command angels, angelic beings, to worship another angel? Oh, by no means. Clearly, this is God in flesh. This is the express image of God. This is the one who holds all the glory of God in His person. Verse 7, and of the angels, He says, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, He says, verse 8, your throne, O God. This is the Father speaking about the Son, actually to the Son. To the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness and a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with all the gladness more than your companions. God said to the Son, your God. And then He again spoke of Himself as being God, your God. And we see the persons of the Trinity being defined. Continuing, verse 10. And you, Lord. Again, the Father is speaking. And He says, you, Lord. Yahweh. You, Yahweh. The Father says to the Son, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Who is Jesus? He is God. Jesus in Revelation 1:17 says, I am the first and the last. Again, God in flesh eternal. In Revelation 5:11, Jesus is eternally worshipped with the Father in heaven. Then I looked. Revelation 5:11. I looked. I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That would be odd, would it not, for the angels of God to be gathered around the throne in heaven saying, worthy is Jesus, worthy is the Lamb. But they don't stop there. It gets more odd yet. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Glory. The angels of God are in heaven declaring that the Lamb is worthy of glory. This is something to behold. This is something to wake you up and to wake up everyone who would deny the deity of Christ Jesus our Lord. Isaiah 42:8, the Father says, I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory. I will not give to another. Jesus is not another. He is one with the Father. Therefore, Jesus is receiving glory in heaven with the Father in the throne room. Continue there in Revelation 5 and verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as were in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying. Who does that include? Everyone. For all time. Gathered together. And what are they saying? Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, that's the Father, and to the Lamb forever and ever. What did they just do? They just put the Father and the Son on the same exact plane and said that they're worthy of honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Is Jesus not God? Oh yes. God, eternally God. In the heavenly throne room, we are ushered in to behold the worship of all the angels and all the saints for all time as they are bowed down before the Father and the Son in holy worship. What blasphemer would dare deny the deity of Christ in light of the Holy Scriptures? How sad it is that the devil so blinds them to do so, that they would claim to be Bible believers and yet deny the deity of Christ. You cannot believe the Word of God and deny Christ's identity as God with us. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's Jesus. What did He say about Himself? Behold, I'm coming quickly. Who is coming quickly? Is the Father coming quickly? No, all through Revelation, all through the New Testament, who is coming? Jesus is coming. So who's speaking? Jesus. And what does He say? My reward is with me to give to everyone according to His work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am God. That's Jesus. and He is the Lord. Let us declare it as such. Let us rejoice in Him as such. Only this Jesus saves. Only this Jesus is worthy of our worship. We must declare Him boldly. We must fight on this hill and give no ground. And if need be, die on this hill, having given up no ground. Jesus Christ is God.
Thank you for joining us on Sola Scriptura. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk in the light of His Word. For more information, you can reach the ministry by dialing 503-645-7471 or visit us online at beavertongracebible.org. Once again, that's 503-645-7471 or online at beavertongracebible.org.